I allow my eyes to flicker up to the screen long enough to see that the blush on my cheeks is unmistakable.
Wouldn't you love to pull her back out here and get a response? Caesar asks the audience.
The crowd screams assent.
Sadly, rules are rules, and Katniss Everdeen's time has been spent. Well, best of luck to you, Peter Mallark, and I think I speak for all of Pan Am when I say our hearts go with yours.
The roar of the crowd is deafening. Peter has absolutely wiped the rest of us off the map with his declaration of love for me. When the audience finally settles down, he chokes out a quiet,
"Thank you,"
and returns to his seat. We stand for the anthem. I have to raise my head out of the required respect and cannot avoid seeing that every screen is now dominated by a shot of Peeta and me, separated by a few feet that in the viewers' heads can never be breached. Poor, tragic us. But I know better. After the anthem, the tributes file back into the training center lobby and onto the elevators. I make sure to veer into a car that does not contain Peeta. The crowd slows our entourages of stylists and mentors and chaperones, so we have only each other for company. No one speaks. My elevator stops to deposit 4 tributes before I am alone, and then find the doors opening on the 12th floor. Peeta has only just stepped from his car when I slam my palms into his chest. He loses his balance and crashes into an ugly urn filled with fake flowers. The urn tips and shatters into hundreds of tiny pieces. Peeta lands in the shards, and blood immediately flows from his hands.
"What was that for?"
he says, aghast.
"You had no right to go saying those things about me," I shout at him.
Now the elevators open and the whole crew is there, Effie, Haymitch, Cinna, and Portia.
"What's going on?"
says Effie, a note of hysteria in her voice.
"Did you fall?"
"After she shoved me," says Peeta as Effie and Cinna help him up. Haymitch turns on me.
"Shoved him? This was your idea, wasn't it? Turning me into some kind of fool in front of the entire country," I answer.
"It was my idea," says Peeta, wincing as he pulls spikes of pottery from his palms. "Haymitch just helped me with it."
"Yes, Haymitch is very helpful, to you," I say.
"You are a fool," Haymitch says in disgust. "Do you think he hurt you? That boy just gave you something you could never achieve on your own."
"He made me look weak," I say.
"He made you look desirable. And let's face it, you can use all the help you can get in that department. You were about as romantic as dirt until he said he wanted you. Now they all do. You're all they're talking about. The star-crossed lovers from District 12, says Haymitch.
"But we're not star-crossed lovers," I say.
Haymitch grabs my shoulders and pins me against the wall.
"Who cares? It's all a big show. It's all how you're perceived. The most I could say about you after your interview was that you were nice enough, although that in itself was a small miracle. Now I can say you're a heartbreaker. Oh, how the boys back home fall longingly at your feet. Which do you think will get you more sponsors?"
The smell of wine on his breath makes me sick. I shove his hands off my shoulders and step away, trying to clear my head. Cinna comes over and puts his arm around me.
"He's right, Katniss."
I don't know what to think.
I should have been told so I didn't look so stupid.
"No, your reaction was perfect. If you'd known, it wouldn't have read as real," says Portia.
"She's just worried about her boyfriend," says Peeta gruffly, tossing away a bloody piece of the urn.
My cheeks burn again at the thought of Gale. "I don't have a boyfriend."
"Whatever," says Peeta. "But I bet he's smart enough to know a bluff when he sees it. Besides, you didn't say you loved me, so what does it matter?"
The words are sinking in, my anger fading. I'm torn now between thinking I've been used
and thinking I've been given an edge. Haymitch is right. I survived my interview, but what was I really? A silly girl spinning in a sparkling dress. Giggling. The only moment of any substance I had was when I talked about Prim. Compare that with Thresh, his silent, deadly power, and I'm forgettable. Silly and sparkly and forgettable. No, not entirely forgettable. I have my 11 in training. But now PETA has made me an object of love. Not just his. To hear him tell it, I have many admirers. And if the audience really thinks we're in love, I remember how strongly they responded to his confession. Star-crossed lovers. Haymitch is right. They eat that stuff up in the Capitol. Suddenly, I'm worried that I didn't react properly. After he said he loved me, did you think I could be in love with him too? I ask. I did, says Portia, the way you avoided looking at the cameras, the blush. The others chime in, agreeing.
You're golden, sweetheart. You're gonna have sponsors lined up around the block, says Haymitch.
I'm embarrassed about my reaction. I force myself to acknowledge PETA. I'm sorry I shoved you.
Doesn't matter, he shrugs. Although it's technically illegal.
Are your hands okay? I ask.
They'll be all right, he says.
In the silence that follows, delicious smells of our dinner waft in from the dining room.
Come on, let's eat, says Haymitch.
We all follow him to the table and take our places. But then PETA is bleeding too heavily and Portia leads him off for medical treatment. We start the cream and rose petal soup without them. By the time we've finished, they're back. PETA's hands are wrapped in bandages. I can't help feeling guilty. Tomorrow we will be in the arena. He has done me a favor and I have answered with an injury. Will I never stop owing him? After dinner, we watch the replay in the sitting room. I seem frilly and shallow, twirling and giggling in my dress, although the others assure me I am charming. PETA actually is charming, and then utterly winning as the boy in love. And there I am, blushing and confused, made beautiful by Cinna's hands, desirable by PETA's confession, tragic by circumstance, and by all accounts, unforgettable. When the anthem finishes and the screen goes dark, a hush falls on the room. Tomorrow at dawn, we will be roused and prepared for the arena. The actual games don't start until 10 because so many of the Capitol residents rise late. But PETA and I must make an early start. There is no telling how far we will travel to the arena that has been prepared for this year's games. I know Haymitch and Effie will not be going with us. As soon as they leave here, they'll be at the game's headquarters, hopefully madly signing up our sponsors, working out a strategy on how and when to deliver the gifts to us. Cinna and Portia will travel with us to the very spot from which we will be launched into the arena. Still, final goodbyes must be said here. Effie takes both of us by the hand and, with actual tears in her eyes, wishes us well. Thanks us for being the best tributes it has ever been her privilege to sponsor. And then, because it's Effie and she's apparently required by law to say something awful, she adds,
I wouldn't be at all surprised if I finally get promoted to a decent district next year.
Then she kisses us each on the cheek and hurries out, overcome with either the emotional parting or the possible improvement of her fortunes. Haymitch crosses his arms and looks us both over.
Any final words of advice? Asks PETA.
When the gong sounds, get the hell out of there. You're neither of you up to the bloodbath at the cornucopia. Just clear out, put as much distance as you can between yourselves and the others, and find a source of water, he says. Got it?
And after that, I ask.
Stay alive, says Haymitch.
It's the same advice he gave us on the train, but he's not drunk and laughing this time.
and we only nod.